Mr. Warren Zanes and I talk about Tom Petty and Johnny Cash. Dale Wiley Show on YouTube and also on Facebook.
So how are you, Warren?
I'm doing well, thank you. End of a long day.
Okay, my first question is, what kind of music did you play in the Del Fuegos?
What kind of music did we play? Really, it was pretty traditional rock and roll. Born of the Rolling Stones, all that they listened to, and a little bit of what came after the Brian Jones years.
Yes. And what I would say is both you and your brother have made interesting careers that I would not have expected, because your brother Dan made wonderful children's albums.
Yeah, actually, I would include the other Del Fuegos in that one too, because Tom and Woody both went on to do interesting things. We're a rare case in our good fortune to have second chapters, right, to the man.
Well, definitely your second chapter has been writing. And so let's first talk about that awesome biography that you did of Tom Petty.
Yeah, after I left the Del Fuegos, I put 10 years into school. I'd never been to college. And I went and I did 4 years of undergrad. Then I got two master's degrees, and then I got a PhD. And
wow.
I put a lot of time into writing. But right. I never stopped loving writing songs. I never stopped loving playing music. I wasn't right at the forefront of things, but the music was always there. So by the end of that process, when I had the PhD in hand, the two worlds started to weave themselves together. Right. And I went from a more, strictly academic writing to writing about music. But I got to say, a lot of what I learned in the university setting, I brought into my writing. And the first book that I wrote, and I really have Joe Pernice to thank for this.
Okay, wonderful.
Joe brought me into the 33 and a third world,
right,
before it existed. And so we were in the first series, and that book fell into Tom Petty's hands.
Okay.
And, Tom Petty was somebody that I knew because the Del Fuegos did a 3-month tour with him.
Right.
He sang a harmony on one of our records. But more importantly, he was a hero from, my preteen years. And
right.
He read this book and ended up making contact with me. And, and it kind of opened this other door in our relationship that was really unexpected and really formative.
Yes. And I guess agreeing that book, I have to ask you, what about the dad? I mean, what about the bomb shelter? That dad was kind of crazy.
Well, there are a lot of important rock and rollers,
right,
who had less than perfect relationships with their fathers.
No doubt.
And I think, I think that's where a lot of ambition comes from. I think that's where that desire to have and cultivate a voice comes from. And, along with it, the desire to, the I'll show him thing.
Certainly.
If you took that out of rock and roll, it would look very different.
Right. But I was just kind of stunned because the dad was very paranoid, and that was kind of an important point, because it also seemed like that Tom was very emotional.
If you took that part out of the rock and roll, there wouldn't be much left too.
Yes.
When somebody discovers that they have the opportunity to write songs, and then they can actually do it,
right,
a world opens up.
Right.
Where they suddenly have a place to take their emotions. to take their feelings born of unrequited love, to take their feelings born of, you know, a father who was, you know, often less than kind. Mm-hmm. And it's, man, once you find that, it changes lives. And I think that framework fits Petty's life.
Well, I guess that is a really good book, and it was actually written before he died. And that's so fun that you got to actually spend that time with him.
Yeah, I was very, very lucky in that regard.
Good timing, definitely.
Yeah, and it, you know, came out 2 years before his passing. And you know, the amazing thing for me personally was that I had this first period of knowing him just being the guy in the opening band.
Right.
And then I go off and I do all this school, and I felt like I was the same person, but right. I think he viewed me as, having read my Dusty in Memphis book, I think he viewed me somewhat differently. And to have someone you admire that much
right.
see change in you is really a very heavy experience.
Yes, I'm sure that is.
So, you know, he was a real gift to me. I learned a lot from him, and he gave me a lot of space to, you know, find my voice.
Right. But now, tell me about this amazing movie that I didn't even know existed about Johnny Cash and how you were involved in that.
Well, that's a movie directed by Tom Zimney.
Right.
And Tom has directed a number of films for Bruce Springsteen. He made an amazing HBO Elvis movie called The Searcher.
Right.
I think where he first made his mark, and I could be wrong on this, was editing The Wire.
Right.
So he's got an amazing history in film, and we were put together on a kind of blind date for a project that never came into being.
Okay, what was that?
The director and me as a writer.
Okay, yeah. What was that project?
That was, it was an early rock and roll project.
Okay.
And it was really about the, you know, like 54 to 58.
Okay.
And what was happening then, and what happened to the early rock and rollers when the British invasion came.
Right.
And then, so it was a deep story. It was really one of those big, you know, more epic scale American story. And, you know, like many projects, if the financing doesn't come, nobody knows it happened. But for me, I came out with this friendship with Tom.
Right.
And, you know, we ended up, you know, in one another's lives. And when the Johnny Cash project came, it was one that, you know, he reached out to me. I wrote a treatment. The financing did come. And more importantly, the involvement of
the family,
the members of the family.
Yes.
And that's when you have what you need. You know, when the people who knew and loved the man show up for the project, it's got some teeth.
Right. Because I was just so amazed, because so many of my friends are diehard Johnny Cash fans, and we never even heard of this thing. And it was so cool to get to introduce people to what a wonderful movie it is, and so much footage is great.
Yeah. And I like the way Tom put Folsom Prison as a kind of quilting point in the film. But you know, like I was saying about Tom Petty, I think Johnny Cash was the same. Like, he discovered that he could take his emotional life into this world where songs are born. And he spent a lot of time there. The most striking thing to me was how at the end of his life, he was just writing and writing and
absolutely
kept going after the song.
And, you know, again, I mean, the Rick Rubin thing, it was just all so amazing. And so I really just have to say that everyone who likes Johnny Cash needs to find this film, because if I haven't known about it, that's really hard for me to believe. But how much did you know about Johnny before starting this?
I'd read a few books. I knew the music pretty well, but it's right. A very deep catalog, obviously. It
certainly is.
I hadn't seen a lot of the Johnny Cash television shows. So there was, he left so much behind that there was an educational component for sure. So I felt like I knew the guy, but you know, with any project, you come out the other side with a deeper understanding. I mean, right. For me as a professor, it's the same thing. If I teach a class and I don't come out the other side of that class with a deeper understanding of whatever I was talking about,
right.
I did it wrong.
Yes. Well, so, but again, the thing that, you know, impresses me so much about Johnny Cash was those mid-60s albums that nobody's even heard of, like all the Bitter Tears and all those things. He was so rock and roll. He was absolutely just had the biggest spirit and the biggest things going on, that really that period was to be what defined him.
Well, yeah, it's a very, very impressive the way he kept looking at the album, the LP, right. And going,
or anybody else.
What else can I do with this? I mean, the Beatles get credit for doing that, right. And they should, but there was Johnny Cash, this artist kind of over here, generally associated with country, right. And no less insistent on asking what else can an album be?
Yes. Mr. Garfield, I mean, just all these songs that just... They're just American history. They're everything. That's the thing. And not kind of whitewashed American history. I mean, the Bitter Tears thing. I mean, there's so much amazing stuff. He was such a poet.
Well, he was also, very politicized.
Yes, absolutely.
People think that if country music is politicized, it's to the right.
Right.
And he's contrary to a lot of received opinions. I think the other thing that should happen with that film is that people see country music itself in a deep way.
Yes. And my dad was a big Johnny Cash fan. And, you know, I think that he had different political views than Johnny did, but he had amazing love for the music and taught me so much about that. And that's what's so fun, because I interviewed Carlene Carter last week. We're just having so much fun. But I love this movie, and everybody needs to see it. And I think for whatever reason, a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, we are in the golden age of documentaries right now. And there's a lot of product out there. Yes. But I don't have an objective position, but I'll say I agree with you. Everybody should see it.
More with Warren after a minute. Check me out on Facebook and YouTube, DaleWileyShow.com. My name is Dale Wiley. Welcome to Shining Star. I'm going to tell you a story my dad kept from me despite the fact that he and I were very close. Now he's got dementia and he can't tell all that he knows, but what I never understood is while he took me around to see all kinds of concerts and baseball games and political events, why he never told me about the Shining Star. Come along as I do some digging and find out the details from friends about what a miraculous story and what a miraculous dad my dad was, Robert Wiley. He was a lawyer for many years and a better person. Hear his story of what nearly derailed him.
Certainly he was a role model to me, and I tried to emulate him.
Right.
Helped me when I got started. In fact, probably kept my family alive until I became prosecutor.
I just went back to his integrity that he wasn't going to hand anything out.
There wasn't anybody better than your dad.
We're setting up a Heroes and Miracles website at heroesandmiracles.org or heroesandmiracles.crypto if you'd like to send some digital cash our way. We're so thankful, and I'm so glad that you're along for the mission of all these things that we're doing and the lives that we're changing through Heroes and Miracles. And thank you to my dad for being the best dad ever and telling and not telling me the story. My dad kept from me the fact that he had won a Bronze Star in Vietnam, and the miraculous story of how that came to be and all the things that I learned in getting there. It's a miracle story. Listen to all four episodes and learn the story of the Shining Star.
Do you love music? Do you know about the musical map of Missouri?
Dallas Wayne,
Chuck Berry,
Dave Alvin, Robbie Folks,
The Skeletons,
The Ozark Mountain Daredevils,
Uncle Tupelo,
Wayne Carson,
Nelly,
Lou Whitney,
Symptoms Morel,
In City, Jeff City,
St. Louis,
St. Joe,
Columbia,
Buckle of the Bible Belt,
The Studio on South Avenue in Springfield,
Missouri.
Add the Missouri Music Podcast to your list of favorites. Lawyer, author, and Slewfoot Records label owner Dale Wiley takes you on a musical trip around Missouri while raising funds for Musical Map of Missouri, a nonprofit organization which will help ensure Missouri musicians affected by COVID-19. Visit MissouriMusicPodcast.com for more information. Tune in to the Missouri Music Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
More with Warren Zanes, DaleWileyShow.com, also on YouTube.
It's really good. What's your next project? What's coming up next?
Nothing that I can speak freely about. I am in the middle of a book, but it hasn't been announced. I'm quite a ways through it, and it should come this year.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited about that.
Right.
There are a couple film things that are percolating, but I'm too old to think that they'll all happen, but I hope they do. I'm always teaching. So I teach at NYU a class a semester, and I'm often writing songs, and I've got it in my head that I work a lot with Brad Jones in Nashville, and I reached out to Brad during the pandemic, and I said, I think I finally figured out the way to get the idea of a double album out of my head. I said, I want to make a triple album.
Okay.
And he said, let's do it. So I've been writing a lot.
That's fun.
Too. And I'm very lucky in that I've got this hybridity, a kind of active hybridity. Right. Not all of it puts food on the table. Making music sure doesn't. they all kind of cross fertilize. So the music matters to the writing matters to the film work. It all matters to the teaching. Mm-hmm. And then I'm raising a couple of sons, and I like to think it matters for them too.
I'm sure it does. But
we could bring them in, and they may tell us otherwise.
What are the kids like? What are your kids like?
Well, I'll tell you, it's 95%. I may be overstating, but it's for years, it's been almost exclusively musical theater.
Really? Oh, yes. My kids are like that too. My daughter is the hugest fan of the Hamilton and the all the stuff.
Yeah, I was on a panel of rock writers, and the subject came up of technology. Someone was making the point that technology has gotten us to the point where it's much easier to make a pretty good record.
Right.
A lot of people are making pretty good record.
Yes.
People who grew up in the 60s grew up during this kind of renaissance period. Right. And the Beatles were happening, and you know, as a dad, I had to kind of raise my hand and say, you know, if you look for the Beatles to happen in exactly the same place they happened before, it's not going to be like that.
And right.
And my point was that I think that there was a Beatles for that moment, and it was Hamilton.
Right, exactly.
Because I was taking my kids in to stand at the stage door.
Oh, yeah.
The cast came out, and my son fainted. Like, well, he maybe
things. It's just a different time, but you're right. That's what the kids are listening to now.
I mean, nobody fainted at a Del Fuego's show. I mean, some people vomited, you know, but that's about it. That wasn't because of us, I hope.
Well, that's so fun. And so I really am now excited to hear about this book, whatever it is, that you'll have to come back on. Announce it.
Yeah, I would be, you know, more than happy to do that. It's funny. It's like one thing I really like about the writing is that it's immersive.
Right.
So the experience with the Petty book, it was immersive, and you know, there he was going through the process with me. And you know, when it's all working like that, it's pinch yourself kind of magic. And so, you know, I hope I get to keep on writing.
Well, that is fun. And thank you so much for spending time with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
More fun to come. DaleWiseShow.com, also on YouTube and many other places as the musical map gets heated up.